No doubt that Sandy Lewis is a very unique figure up in the Adirondacks in Essex County. He's a kind of mega farmer up there. He's got an extraordinary successful and large farm. He's raising organically raised beef, lots of produce, specialty products. He's got a very interesting and impressive website. And a few years ago, he challenged the APA, the Adirondack Park Agency, which sought to stop him from building pharma buildings up there. He challenged it under an agricultural exemption in the law. He beat the APA, and it's not as if he's anti-EPA. In fact, he has talked at times about a runaway APA, but not one that he opposes. He's also a guy with a unique Wall Street background, and his father was a unique figure, famous figure at one time in Wall Street. Sandy Lewis recently met with the new head of the APA. The governor has designated or chosen Lani Ulrich, Leah Lani, I think her first name actually is, as the new head of the EPA. And there seems to be a new consensus developing in the Adirondacks with a lot of people who have been critical of the APA, looking forward to working with Lani Ulrich, describing her as a very reasonable individual as the new chairman. And joining us right now from his farm, I think, up in Essex County is Sandy Lewis. Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Fred.
Great to have you. Now, as I understand it, you recently met with the new head of the APA. Is that right? And if so, what was that like?
Well, it was delightful. Lani Ulrich came with Senator Little, Betty Little. And I believe Betty was interested in this as well. And I think both of them are coming as a result of an initiative that comes straight from the governor. And it's very gratifying if that's the case, because it would mean that it would mean that we have a chance up here. The discussion topic that I think brought them, or at least one of them, was the notional idea of putting an absolutely first-class slaughterhouse in the park.
Yeah, it's a great idea. You've talked about that before.
I have, yeah. And there's an additional reason to talk about it today. Well, first of all, we're traveling 4 hours each way to do the best we can for our animals, for some of the top buyers in the country. But at the end of the day, 4 hours each way is eight. I'm doing it myself to bring the animals to the kill floor at 7 a.m. It's kind of a stretch. If Andrew Cuomo wants to do the best thing for New York State, indeed for the nation, maybe he should have a chat with the governor of Vermont, because at the present time, and this isn't public over there, but it certainly is the buzz, they intend to put one of these slaughterhouses and a new one centrally located in Middlebury at an industrial park. Quite frankly, it would be better for the two states to combine their efforts. Vermont's so small it hardly matters. And whereas we don't have any slaughterhouse within the 6.5 million acres of the park, if the states got together with private sector types like myself, and I'd be happy to be involved, Betty's asked us to do this, we're really thinking about it. And Lani Ulrich said, plain and simple, anywhere you want it, let's just do a first-class job. And that represents a significant change here, frankly, because you don't put a slaughterhouse in unless you want to help farmers. And, Fred, the crisis here can be summarized with one Greek letter and two numbers, omega-3 and omega-6. Might sound a little mysterious, but omega-6 is heart disease,
right?
And omega-3 is tuna. When you grow beef as we do, and we have the only USDA-certified grass-fed farm in the nation.
Wow.
Yep, and we can teach others how to do it here. I'm 73. There's nothing I'd rather do than lead the charge here and get a lot of farmers up to speed, guys who are throwing in the towel. Let's turn them around. Let's show them how to grow grass-fed beef. Let's take New York State and make it the beef capital of the nation. They're liquidating herds like crazy in Texas. I've just come back from Jackson Hole investigating Idaho and Wyoming. I'm telling you, we've got an opportunity here. Perhaps this governor will get behind it, and if he will, and Betty Little could lead it, Lani Ulrich could lead it. There's a lot of people up here who could lead it. There's plenty of room on this one. And the state of Vermont, rather than building something in Vermont, where they've had a lot of trouble running their slaughterhouses, let's start with a clean slate. Think in terms of the Port Authority. Modify that kind of structure with private sector involvement. The state cannot run a slaughterhouse. It shouldn't think
right,
about it.
Right.
But the state can sure get behind it. And as I said when I met with the APA, instead of having the wind in our face, let's have the wind in our back.
Sandy, yeah, a couple of
things. Just 10 years, Fred, before this thing cuts a profit. So there has to be some involvement by the state.
Sure.
And this will create taxpayers. This will create proper use of the land. This will have an enormous impact while we're on the subject.
Hold on for a second. Let me just ask you something about it, because I think it's very exciting. It's forward-thinking.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Two quick things. One, what does the New York State Farm Bureau say about this, if anything? Have they weighed in on your side or with any comment?
The Farm Bureau would love to see this. Right. Fred, I mean, there are many people involved in this thinking process. And frankly, there are others in government as well who may be a little bit timid about support for something, but under the leadership of Lonnie and Betty.
Where's the state agriculture department on this?
I don't know. I've talked to Bob Summers, who's absolutely outstanding. He attended the meeting that Betty called at the APA, and I think he spoke favorably, but I don't know if he speaks for the department.
Well, you have a commissioner who is a dairy farmer anyway, knows a thing or two about farming, and I would think he would understand the need for a quality slaughterhouse.
I would think so, but the word assume isn't in my vocabulary. And while as I believe deeply that anybody who understands the need for farming in this country will understand the need for a slaughterhouse. And by the way, if I'm involved in this slaughterhouse, you're going to be able to eat off the floor. Mm-hmm. You can put cameras in every section and put them on the Internet and teach America what a proper slaughterhouse should look like, and put those packing houses in the Midwest to shame.
I want to ask you about that. What's so special? What's required to open a slaughterhouse that now requires you to have to drive 4 hours away? Why can't one be opened up? Is it the economy of scale? You just need you need a large number of animals coming in to justify it?
There are four companies in the United States which control close to 100% of the beef market in this country. They are producing grain-fed beef,
right,
drenched in steroids and antibiotics. Some guy who's sick with a staph infection, who may be on adult onset diabetes, watch what he has to do to get himself cured when he gets a systemic infection and he's a beef lover. If you eat organic beef, you're never going to have this problem. But if you eat beef drenched in antibiotics and steroids, hang on tight.
Well, you know, if somebody eats a couple of meals of beef a week, they're not going to be affected adversely by the mainstream beef production, do you think?
I do not disagree with what you're saying, but there are plenty who do. And I'll put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Why do it if it's not good for you?
I guess cost is one reason.
Well,
your beef is very expensive relative to the factory-produced beef,
no? No, it's not.
Okay.
But that's not the point. Our beef, you know, some would find it expensive, some would find it cheap. Having said that, it's never a good idea to eat something that's bad for your health.
If you could avoid it, absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, the feedlots are producing stuff that wasn't in existence before World War II. These things came about because Wall Street figured out a two-for-one write-off on feedlots. It's as simple as that. So what do we have today? We have a shame today, a real national shame. And Andrew Cuomo, he's a smart guy. If he takes a good look at this and assigns some of his people, he's got a guy in his office named Robert Rosenthal who's on the wrong side of every issue I've ever seen. Why don't they assign him to this? This is a big problem. We can solve it in the Adirondacks. Betty Little understands this problem, Senator Little. She absolutely adores Cuomo, as I hear it, and so does Lonnie Elrick. Well, I'm prepared to take an open view on this governor. Let's see what he can do here.
How much would such a processing plant cost, do you think, Sandy?
Well,
to be done right.
If I'm in charge of building it, and I'd love to be, it's going to cost a ton because I'm going to do it right. And if it's done right, and I'm telling you this, we'll put epoxy set tile on the floor. There'll be no antibiotics. There'll be no bacteria. There will be no viruses. I built a kennel in Barbados in an estate I had down there, 30,000 square feet of tile set in epoxy. We never had a virus in the dogs.
I would think something like that would be a wonderful training facility, too, for, say, Cornell University students.
Exactly. But I'm not interested in Cornell because they can't spell organic. What I am interested in is teaching young people how to slaughter animals, running a school there. I am interested in talking, and I have talked to him, the congressman from 23rd District, Bill Owens. He's promised me U.S. support. I don't know if he can deliver it, but Homeland Security has got to change its attitude with respect to immigration. We're going to need Germans who understand the cut room. We're going to need other kinds of people who don't mind getting their hands dirty but keep their hands clean.
Sure.
The slaughter process is brain surgery. It has to be antiseptic. If you go into slaughterhouses, I don't care where you go, you're going to have a problem.
Well, why is that?
I want to be able to turn the lights on and teach grade school kids what a slaughterhouse is all about. Why not?
Well, some of the kids would probably find it pretty shocking to see the killing of the large animals.
Look, it isn't fun. I take my own animal to the kill floor myself every single week. It's an eight-hour drive for me to do this. But I'll tell you what, I respect the people who work on the kill floors. There's two kinds, one who delight in killing and the others who do not delight in it. You want the second guy on your kill floor, and that's important.
I used to hear, do you know if this is true, that maybe 50 or 100 years ago in Illinois, in Chicago, that people who worked in the slaughterhouses were prohibited from serving on juries. I don't know if that's apocryphal or not, but it's a good story, I thought.
You know, I don't know that, but I used to live a couple of miles from the stockyards on the south side of Chicago. I was there from the age of 10.
In school, right?
Yes, I was. I was at a school for difficult children. But the point is, that slaughterhouse had such an odor that the entire south side was blanketed with that odor.
Right.
When the wind was in a certain direction. Everybody knew it. Some people lost their lunch over it. It was very painful. I can assure you that if I set up a slaughterhouse, you will be able to live within, you know, meters of that slaughterhouse and not smell a thing. There is a way to do this.
Yeah, slaughter. Yeah, I'm sure. How much would it cost, would you estimate, a high-quality slaughterhouse up there?
Oh, Fred, I've actually pushed the numbers. If you didn't spend $5 million, you wouldn't be doing it right.
Right.
But in terms of the state's problems, let's say it costs $25 million. Let's talk about the tax revenues that would be generated from the business that would flow.
You're recovering
let's
farms.
About the cooperation between, let's say, Vermont and New York. Instead of fighting with Vermont, why don't we get joined with them and take that tiny little state with 800,000 people over here and teach them a little something about economics in the park?
This Sandy, how
should be set up so that every park resident is thrilled to have it and no one's ashamed of it.
Sandy, how hard is it for farmers to raise beef the way you raise them? Could a struggling farmer learn the techniques and be able to do it?
Really? But I'll tell you what it needs. Right. It needs patience. The first thing you got to do is get to be organic. So you plant your fields with buckwheat for 3, 4, 5 years and kill all the weeds. Buckwheat smothers them. Then you got to have some drainage to make sure your plants aren't shallow-rooted. You don't want puddles. You don't want compaction. Wouldn't hurt to have a quarry to open up, as we have, 12 miles of roads on your farm and keep the farm vehicles off the fields except in those rare occasions when you're doing something that's important on the field.
The quarry's for gravel? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but it's gravel. It's deep. We have some roads that are 12 feet deep. They act as drainage. The drainage has to be lateral and vertical.
Can it be done in the mountains, though? You're in the valley, are you not?
It can be done anywhere. And what's more, Adirondacks, again, is perfect for it because almost every farm has rock. And the DEC allows the farmer to harvest that rock and use it for roads.
How about the temperature, the cold temperatures? That's not a bad...
Fantastic. The cows do best when the temperature's cold. They're not good when it's hot. They don't eat enough.
Certainly kills off disease, right? It sterilizes.
You know, we birth animals around here all year round.
Right.
We've actually popped calves 20 below zero. We just put a little Vaseline on the ears to prevent frostbite. No problem.
Sounds very sweet.
It is sweet. We take care of every animal as if it's a child. I mean, we look after these animals. And incidentally, grass-fed beef blows away Kobe beef.
In terms of what, taste or texture?
Taste, health, everything. Japanese mythology. Take it where you like it.
And just for the people...
Better than Japan, right here in the Adirondacks.
Sandy, for people who don't understand it, what's the significance of the animal eating grass as opposed to eating grain?
It's the second stomach in the animal. There are four. The second stomach is a ruminant factory. It converts cellular material to protein. It's a miracle. If we tried to build this in a lab, we wouldn't be able to do
it.
But
it is
a miracle.
The cow has
it. On the other hand, if you feed grain to that cow, you kill the ruminant. You need to cover it in steroids and antibiotics to make the cow fat. The cow will get fat in half the time. And that white-laced beef that you see in the store and everybody's so accustomed to buying, that's heart disease.
Well, why don't
looks like tuna, and it's got just as much fat, but it's omega-3 fat.
Why doesn't the factory farms, the big industrial farms in the Midwest, feed their animals grasses?
Well, they haven't got the grass to feed them.
They can't get it.
You must have a ratio of well-groomed fields per cow. It differs. In Wyoming, where I just came back, the Indian reservation is totally organic, 570,000 acres. But you need 500 acres for a cow. They don't have any grass. And by the way, when you eat one of their cows, you're not going to like it.
You know, people used to...
It tastes like what it eats.
It was an advertising point, was it not, to talk about grain-fed beef. At one time, that was presented,
that's
maybe it still is,
correct.
As a positive.
That's absolutely correct. After right. World War II, all animals had been grass-fed, and they were pretty scrawny. So the farmers discovered grain. Wall Street discovered tax shelters. And we got grass-fed grain finished. Today, you got it the other way around. And incidentally, Fred, if somebody claims he's organic, and he isn't, he goes to jail. But if somebody claims he's grass-fed and he isn't, they laugh. There is no law on misrepresentation on grass, which is why this farm is the only farm in the country which sought the USDA to come in and certify us as grass and forage fed.
But there is a mechanism for such certification.
Yes, there is, and yeah. It's right on our website at lewisfamilyfarm.com for every farmer to see. I printed out all the documents. I explained this to the guys in Wyoming and Idaho last week. They never knew about it. The USDA is your friend in that division. But then there's another side of the USDA which buys the worst beef in the world and feeds it to our children.
Sandy, if people want to try your beef, can they? Are there outlets in the Capital District for it?
No. We're using Adams Farm Slaughterhouse in Athol, A-T-H-O-L, Massachusetts.
Right.
And at the present time, remember, we're a farm in development. Our beef, our ground beef, is being sold exclusively at Deerfield Academy. And Deerfield Academy put that on their website, and all of a sudden other prep schools are calling. Why? Because the kids are smart. And the faculty that eat every meal with the kids, they're smart, and they want this beef. So we've made a commitment to Deerfield. We'll not change that commitment. We've had a couple of other schools call us. One of them has a third-party buyer in the middle, a large corporation which Warburg Pincus and Goldman Sachs have financed, and I've talked to Joe Landy at Warburg Pincus, and I explained the facts of life to him, and I haven't heard from him. Hmm. I know Joe. I know Warburg Pincus, and I sure as hell know Goldman Sachs. Yeah. But when they will not buy grass-fed beef for Phillips Andover Academy, they're going to learn a lesson. The admissions office that can advertise grass-fed beef, certified grass-fed beef, is going to have a whole lot better inquiry than the one that's feeding grid beef from Conagra.
When we see organic beef in local stores, co-ops...
That's legal. They'll be organic or they'll go to jail.
No, I understand that. But what's the difference between, just to explain it, say organic beef, Honest Wade Food Co-op here in Albany sells it, and your grass-fed beef?
Well, first of all, you can't be grass-fed unless you're organic.
Right.
That's not in the law, but that's a practical consideration. Look at our website again and follow the documents, and you're going to see that you have to be organic to get to be grass-fed. However, there are plenty of people out there who are not organic and they claim to be grass-fed. One of them is Hartwick Beef, 100% grass-fed. 40-odd farms signing affidavits. And my answer is, I'm from Missouri, show me.
But grain-fed beef could be...
I trust everybody cut the cards.
Grain-fed beef could be organic, right? If it's organically grown grain...
Absolutely. There's plenty of organic beef that's grain-fed,
yeah.
And it will give you a fine time. Your cardiologist will love you. And incidentally, one of the reasons Deerfield swung on this is because the husband of the head is a first-class cardiologist.
Really?
Yes, sir. And he said, you know what? If we can get our kids this stuff... give it to them.
Deerfield, for those who don't know, it is a very fine private high school in the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts, Western Mass.
Yes, all through New England. We've got some of the best prep schools in the world.
No question.
And some of the best public schools in the world. But this little farm can't feed them all.
No, I would think not. But if the market's there, then there's obviously a place for others to come in. Sandy, before I let you go, I know you know a great deal about Wall Street and the national and international economy. We only have a couple of minutes remaining. Let me just ask you, are you sanguine about the immediate future coming down the road, or are you pretty grim about what's likely to be occurring?
Fred, in 2006, I called what happened with the debt crisis. And the debt crisis has been smothered by low-cost money, cheap money, which is disenfranchised savers. Basically, what the administration has done, and it's a tragedy, it may be a necessary tragedy, but it's a tragedy nonetheless, they have honored the profligate and screwed the savers.
That's
so old
true,
people
right.
today are getting completely decimated by low interest rates. They just can't earn any money, and they're forced to play momentum games in the stock market, which is always dangerous.
Right.
So you're asking me what I think. No one should ever predict a market. So I'll predict the market. I'll tell you right now that I feel that we are going to have trouble. I don't know how bad it'll be, but Greece hasn't levitated. Portugal, Spain, Belgium, England, Ireland, the whole fit. These guys are in trouble. They're heading for a contraction. The demographics aren't working over there. People aren't reproducing themselves, the same as in Japan.
Right.
The word is called deflation. I've been saying this for a decade. We're in a deflation mode here. The Fed does not have to worry about inflation. I don't know who on that board seems to think they're going to have inflation over there. They can put money to zero.
Right.
What they've done is they've taken the common denominator, currency, and they've trashed it. And the only reason we're not seeing inflation is because there isn't demand. You're going to get inflation if you have organic demand, real inflation. But you might see a different kind of inflation. Inflation that's caused by a decline in the value of currency gives the false impression of rising prices when it's really the currency that's falling.
Yeah, we've seen that with oil. So anyway, we're out of time.
It's very scary.
We're out of time. Two quick things from a listener. How many cattle do you have? Is this someone's curious?
At the moment, we're pushing 300.
Okay.
We're expecting about 150 births.
Great.
In the next 6 months.
And what's your website address for those who'd like to take a look at it?
Oh, I'd love it if they would.
No.
Lewis Family Farm, singular.
L-E-W-I-S Family Farm, singular.
That's right.
.com.
I hope I have a phone number on there. Mm-hmm. If anybody has any questions, they should
Great.
Call.
Sandy, always very interesting and provocative to have you with us. Thanks for joining us this morning.
The big deal here is Cuomo behind APA and Senator Little.
All right. Take care. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.